Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our morning online service here at Lisburn Baptist Church. We're getting more used to this format now as the weeks go on in the middle of this pandemic where we can't have our normal gatherings in the church building together. But I want to say hello to you this morning. If you're part of our church family, those who usually come and worship here at Lisburn Baptist Church, I want to say hello to you this morning. I trust you're keeping well and the Lord is with you and you're feeling his presence and his help at this difficult time for our world and our country. I also want to welcome anyone who's maybe tuning in this morning. Maybe you have a friend who comes along to the church here. Maybe you're unable just to access your own church. Maybe I can't do online services at the minute, or maybe you're not used to going to church and you've just tuned in this morning and you've come across our service. I want to welcome you as you join with us also. I also want to mention the church Spotify account. We've had this going since the start of our online services. It's continuing to go up every week, a little playlist of hymns and Christian songs that maybe when you're making the dinner, when you're peeling the spuds or you've the oven on or you're doing the dishes, you could put it on your iPad, you could put it on your laptop, on your phone, and you just listen to some Christian music, Christian hymns that would fit in with the message. And I want to thank Sharon Baird and others here, and Ben Connor, who are putting that all together for us today. So maybe you want to tune in this afternoon just to the church Spotify account. I also want to make mention of the Grasp in Galatians initiative. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this tonight that we've been reminding you of that we're going to be doing over May. Hopefully you'll have received either via WhatsApp or email the copy of the Grasping Galatians booklet. You can be studying Galatians this week or this month together. We're wanting to do this as a church, get deeper into God's word together. And as I've encouraged before, maybe you want to join up with someone else in the church or someone else in your family or a little group and just study Galatians together over the phone or Zoom or WhatsApp or Skype over this month as we study Galatians together. So don't forget about that little booklet as well. We're going to be continuing on in our series on Sunday mornings in 1 John this week. We're going to look at the next passage in 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at that this morning, and then there's going to be a break for a couple of weeks. You're going to be hearing from someone else next Sunday. I'm not going to be speaking next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, we're going to do something different. And we're going to have our different organizations, our youth and our children's organizations, taking part in the church. And we'll be doing something different there as well, so we'll not be in 1 John. But the week after that, we'll be back into 1 John again. But we're going to continue on in this epistle of 1 John this morning, and I've entitled this morning's message, Countering the Counterfeit. Countering the Counterfeit. Often anything valuable or popular or important will be copied with counterfeits. There'll be fakes that are made to try to be to look like the real thing, whether it be money, whether it be diamonds, whether it be designer handbags. Quite often there will be counterfeits, fakes that are designed to be passed off as the real thing. And it's the job of the original to be continually countering the counterfeit, finding out new ways to make sure that the real thing can be seen and can be identified. An example of this was the British Mint in the year 2017. For 33 years, there had been no change to the design of the £1 coin. And yet in 2017, the British Mint came up with a new design of the £1 coin. And that's why all of our pound coins were replaced from the circular old one to this new 12-sided pound coin. You see, they discovered that as many as one out of every 30 pound coins was fake. There was billions and billions of fake pound coins in our currency. Criminals were making millions by successfully replicating the real pound coin. The counterfeit had come in with the genuine. And so they countered the counterfeit. They introduced a new pound coin with a new design, which at the time was the most secure circulating coin in the world. It had loads of built-in features that make it difficult to counterfeit. It has a hologram in it. It has 12 sides. It is designed in a certain way where the genuine is easily seen and it's difficult to be counterfeited. Well, the whole way through the letter of 1 John so far, we've seen the elderly apostle John writing to this church that had been plagued and attacked by false teachers and false teaching, and he's been showing the reality of the counterfeits. Those who were walking in darkness, living in habitual sin, and he was saying they're counterfeit, they're not genuine. Those who were trying to be super spiritual and were pretending like they no longer sinned, that they were at a level above everyone else, and he was saying they're counterfeit, they're not genuine. He was attacking those who were not keeping the commands of Christ. They were saying one thing, but they were failing to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's saying, look at them, they're not genuine. He was pointing to those who were loving the world with a continual, habitual, worldly attitude. And he's saying, they're not genuine. Do not love the world or the things in the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. And as we turn back to 1 John 2 this morning, this next section, John continues and goes deeper into showing the church how they, as the genuine believers in Christ, can counter the counterfeit. And we're going to read now from 1 John 2, verses 18 to 27. 1 John 2, verses 18 to 27. Children, it is the last hour. And you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. We'll end our reading there at verse 27. Let's just pray one more time and ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we look at this passage together. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and open our hearts and helps us understand your word and apply it to us. And we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit now. Teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know how to spot false teaching and to counter it and to grow in Christ. Lord, we need your help now. And we ask for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I've said in the introduction there, John is continuing to delve into what the false teaching was that was attacking the church and how this church could spot it, how this church could counter the counterfeit. And he's building on what he's already taught these Christians in Ephesus already. And in this passage, we see from the structure that John is comparing and contrasting those who are counterfeit and what they are teaching with what is the real McCoy, what is genuine, what is the truth. And we see it very clearly in the passage. If you have your Bible open with you there, and I'd encourage you to have it open this morning, you can see this compare and contrast. If you look at verses 18 to 19, we see John exposing the counterfeit. But then if you look at verses 20 to 21, we have John commending the genuine. Verses 22 to 23, John's back to exposing the counterfeit. He's pointing to the lies of the false teachers. Verses 24 to 25, again, he's commending those who are in the truth. He's encouraging them in the truth. Then back again in verse 26, he's back to attacking the false teaching, and he's warning of those who are wanting to deceive them, to lead them astray. In verse 27, again, he's comparing that with those who are genuine, those who are in the truth, who have this anointing and will abide in him. You see this compare and contrast again between the genuine and the false, the real and the counterfeit throughout this passage. John, he's comparing the two. He's showing what is real and what is counterfeit, and how they can spot what is counterfeit and counter it as those who are genuine believers in the church. And I just want to pick up on three things this morning from this passage that allow us to counter the counterfeit from what John has taught us here. Firstly, we see that John classifies the counterfeit. He classifies the counterfeit. Secondly, he commends the genuine for abiding in truth. He commends the genuine for abiding in truth. And thirdly, he counts on their ally against the Antichrists. He counts on their ally against the Antichrists. So firstly, we see that John classifies the counterfeit. And he begins another section of his letter in verse 18 in the same and similar format that he's introduced quite a few of his sections so far. He begins verse 18 by using the word children. Last week we saw that that word children was a designation for the whole church, both young and old. It was a term that the elderly apostle John used affection for this younger church in Ephesus. It's a pastoral term. And again here in verse 18, as John starts a new section building on what he's already taught, he is using this pastoral term to speak to those who are genuine Christians in this church. And he's giving them a warning here in verse 18. And he says in verse 18, children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. John is saying to them that they are living in the last hour. Now that last hour is widely believed to be the same as what Jesus and others talk about when they talk about the last days. It's the period between the first and the second comings of Christ. And you see, these believers in Ephesus, they knew this teaching already. They knew that they were in the last hour. They knew what to expect. And they had been told and they had been taught in the early teachings of the early church that in that last hour, there was a figure who was going to come. Someone who was going to come from the powers of darkness, from the power of the devil, an Antichrist was coming. And John says that here. You've been warned, church. You've been told that an Antichrist is coming. Now that word Antichrist is a Greek word that is only used in John's epistles, 1st and 2nd John. And it has a dual meaning. An Antichrist could mean someone who opposes Christ, someone who attacks Christ and his people, or someone who tries to usurp the place of Christ, tries to counterfeit Christ, tries to take his place or his identity. You see, the early church had taught that as it would draw near to the return of Christ, one would appear who would oppose Christ and his people and who would try and take the place of Christ and deceive people. We read of 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 and 4 that Paul teaches the same. He says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. John calls him the Antichrist. Paul calls him the man of lawlessness. There's a correlation also made in the book of Revelation when it talks in Revelation 13 about the first beast. And most commentators draw these three terms together as this same figure, this Antichrist, this beast, this man of lawlessness who will come at the end. These believers, they already knew that the Antichrist is coming. John writes to them, he's warning them, he's saying, you know this, you've been taught this. It's the last hour and the Antichrist is coming. But he also warns them, not only will this ultimate Antichrist come in whatever format that will be, and that's debated, and there's difference of opinion on that in the church. But not only will there be this ultimate Antichrist who will come before the return of Christ, but there are already many Antichrists already attacking the church. He says in verse 18, you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now, many Antichrists have come. They have come. 2 John 7 says the same. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. John, as he warns these genuine believers, he's saying, this is not just something that's coming in the future. This is something that you are facing now. Many antichrists have already come. The church is already under attack from those who oppose Christ and who will try and counterfeit Christ. The church is under attack in Ephesus when John wrote, and it's under attack for us today in 2020. John is warning them. The Antichrist is coming, but the Antichrists have already come. You're facing false teachers and false teaching today. And so John spends his time in this passage that we've read together classifying the counterfeits, explaining who they are and what they were teaching and how they could be spotted by those who are genuine in Christ. The first thing that John classifies these counterfeits, these antichrists, is he explains that they came from within the church. They came from within. When I was a teenager, just really starting to get serious about my faith and reading Christian books and watching different sermons and different things, there was a real hip, popular Christian writer who had burst onto the scene and who many young people really loved, and it was a man called Rob Bell. And Rob Bell, even to the outside world, seemed to be making Christianity cool. And everyone seemed to be buying his books and reading them and listening to him. He was heralded as the next big thing in the evangelical church. He had planted and grew one of the biggest churches in America in a few short years. And yet it wasn't long until Rob Bell was pushing the boundaries further and further. Seemed to be becoming just so relevant to the world around him. And then he wrote a book called Love Wins in 2011, questioning the doctrine of hell and eternal punishment, bringing the authority of the work of Christ, bringing the authority of the Bible into question. And John Piper put a short phrase up on Twitter that caused a storm even in the secular media that year. Just before the book was released, when a preview came out, John Piper tweeted three words: "Farewell, Rob Bell. Farewell, Rob Bell." And he got into much trouble and much controversy about it. And yet as the years went on, John Piper was right to say goodbye to Rob Bell. See, soon Bell had stood down from pastoring his church. And today he is far from the orthodox evangelical faith. And John Piper saw it coming and he said goodbye. See, John talks about something similar here in this passage. He talks and he tells the Christians in Ephesus that these antichrists, these deceivers, these false teachers, they used to be in their midst. They were from them, but they left. Look at verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." These false teachers, these deceivers, these antichrists had seemed to be part of them. And yet they went out from them. They had been amongst the genuine. That phrase, "went out from them," is the same word used by John in his gospel to describe Judas, as Judas leaves the other genuine disciples in the upper room to go and to betray Jesus and show himself to never be a genuine disciple at all. John 13, verse 30, "So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out." It's the same term. "And it was night." These false teachers have been in the midst of genuine believers, but they had went out from them, just like Judas. They'd showed themselves not to be genuine, that they were counterfeit in what they believed and what they were teaching and how they were living their Christian lives, and they went out from them. And John was saying goodbye. He was saying goodbye. "You are not part of us. You never were part of us." They don't continue with the faithful. They divert theologically and ethically and practically from the Christian faith. And the history of church has seen that time and time again. Those who we thought were part of us, but they go out from us and they show that they were never part of us at all. Warren Wiersbe comments on this. And he says, "If you investigate the history of the false cults and anti-Christian religious systems in today's world, you will find that in most cases, their founders started out in a local church. They were with us, but not of us. So they went out from us. John is saying to this church in Ephesus, these antichrists are people you know. You've had fellowship with them in the church, but as time has gone on, they've gone out. They've shown themselves to be counterfeit. Paul had warned Timothy of this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. John is warning the genuine. He's classifying the counterfeit that these antichrists had come from within, but they didn't remain within. They went out from them. Not only does he classify them as coming from within, but he classifies them as denying Jesus as the Christ. He describes some of the false teaching that they were teaching in verses 22 to 23. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. These antichrists were showing themselves to be counterfeit because they denied the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They denied that Jesus was the Messiah. They were denying that he was incarnate, that he was God, that he was sent from God, that he was sent from God to save his people from their sins. We read later on in the epistle that they were denying that Jesus had come in the flesh. That's what these antichrists were attacking. They were attacking the person and the work of Jesus. We saw in chapter 1 that they were denying that they still sinned. And their heresy is so dangerous because it is presenting Jesus, who he is and what he's done on the cross, wrongly. And they were denying the truth of God's word. They were denying the truth about Christ. And they were denying the truth of the gospel. You know, as we apply that to our situation today in the church in 2020, the same applies, doesn't it? So often the antichrists, the deceivers, the false teaching of this world, it attacks the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Serious doctrinal Arian heresy will always end up attacking the deity and the work of Christ. We think of some of the contemporary religious cults and movements that have grown, per se, out of Christianity. We think of the Mormons. And they come to our doors and they pretend that they're as Christian as they possibly can be. And it seems that we, on first instance, seem to have a lot in common with them, but we don't. You see, as you delve deeper and deeper into what they teach a plurality of gods. They teach that Jesus is not eternal. Some of their teachers have even taught over the years that Jesus and the devil are brothers. They undermine the atonement of Christ and they teach a works-based salvation. They deny the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We think of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe that Jesus is a created being. They believe that he didn't physically rise from the dead. There's no physical resurrection. They believe that he invisibly returned years ago. And they believe that it's works that save us. They deny the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We think of the prosperity gospel. They deny the person and the work of Christ. They make it about Jesus dying on the cross to make us healthy and wealthy. And they don't talk about sin. That's what the antichrists do. The deceivers do. They attack the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's how John classifies them all these years ago, and it's still the same today. He also classifies them, thirdly, as those who try to deceive. They try to deceive. Look at verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. These antichrists, these false teachers, they'd gone out from the genuine assembly, but they were trying to take those who were genuine believers with them. They were trying to lead them astray. And that's what John's warning about. Don't be led astray by them. That's what that word deceive means there. Means to be led astray. Jesus uses the same word. Matthew records of Jesus' words using the same Greek word in Matthew 24, verse 24. When Jesus warns of this, just like John does. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And the elderly apostle John is echoing the words of Jesus, and he's warning them, be on your guard for those who are trying to deceive you, those who are trying to lead you astray from the truth of Christ and from the truth of the gospel. The counterfeit will try to deceive and lead astray the genuine. John, he classifies the counterfeit. They've gone out from them, they'll deny the person and the work of Christ, and they will try and deceive you. And John's warning is a warning for us today in the church in 2020. There has never been a time where we have had more access to teaching and to teachers. We have the internet, we have books, and we have TV channels. And that's wonderful when we're looking at the genuine. We can learn so much. Material is so readily available. We also need to be on our guard. There are those who will go out from us. Those who will start off in the right place. But over time, they will show that they were never from us. They will go out from us. And we will need to make sure that we're not being deceived by them. We need to train ourselves to see what people are teaching us. We need to look past the charisma of an individual who might be doing the teaching or the writing. We need to look past the entertainment and the entertaining stories and the lights and everything else that might be put into a presentation. We need to see past that. We need to see past the well-presented music or the services or the messages. We need to know how to weigh the content of what someone is saying to us or teaching us. What are they believing? What is their statement of faith? What are they teaching? So that we can learn to see the genuine and to spot the counterfeit. John, he classifies the counterfeit. We need to do the same in our world today. Secondly, he commends the genuine for abiding in truth. He commends the genuine for abiding in truth. Federal agents in the U.S., when they're being trained on fraud or counterfeiting, how they're trained to spot counterfeit dollar bills is not by studying the counterfeits. Now, what they're done is they're brought in by the professionals, and they spend their time examining the originals. They feel the cut of the paper. They see how the different icons are put in different ways. They see how it's printed. They understand the genuine. That is how they train to spot the counterfeit. They don't spend their time studying the counterfeits. They study the genuine. You see, the counterfeits will constantly change. But the real thing will always stay the same. If you know the real thing inside out, you'll be able to spot the counterfeit. As John commands the church in Ephesus, because they have examined and they've known the real thing. John, he contrasts the counterfeit with the genuine, and what separates them is their experience and their practice of the truth. These believers know the real thing. Look at verses 20 to 21. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. John is writing to those who were genuine, those who know the real thing. They're genuine, they know the truth, because it has been revealed to them as they've been taught the Word of God. Verse 24 says they've heard it from the beginning. That's again harking back to the language that John has already used in this epistle to talk about the gospel that had been preached to them, the Word of God that had been given to them. These Christians, they know the truth. It's been preached to them. It's been taught to them. They've read it. They've believed it. They've lived it out. They've been taught the Word of God. John had testified the truth to them. And so as they're coming under attack from the counterfeit, John is reminding them that they have the truth and they need to abide in it. They've all the tools that they need to spot the counterfeit and remain in the truth. They have the truth and they need to keep abiding in the truth. We've already seen that word for abide has been used multiple times in this letter. It's one of the key themes of 1 John, to remain, to continue, to abide in the light, to abide in the truth, to abide in Christ, to abide in his word. And that word abide is used 6 times here in this passage. How are we going to counter the counterfeit? We need to abide in the truth. He'd abide in the truth. John is encouraging them. He's reminding them that they know the truth and they need to keep abiding in that truth so that they can spot the counterfeit. They need to stay faithful. They need to stay close to Christ. They need to abide in his word, what they have heard from the beginning. And as we abide in the word, we'll abide in the Son and the Father and will not be led astray, will not be deceived. John has already commended the young men, the younger generation in the church for doing it in verse 14. He says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. John is reminding them that they've studied the real, the genuine article, the real McCoy. And in studying the real and in abiding in the real, they'll be able to spot the counterfeit. And what a lesson that is for us as the church today, with just as many antichrists, if not more, than when John was writing to this church. Those who try and replace Christ or compete with him. Those who attack his person and his work, his deity and his sacrifice. Those who go out from us but are not of us. Maybe you're listening to this morning and you fear being led astray. Maybe you're a young Christian. Or maybe you think, well, I don't know all these doctrines and all these different things. How am I going to stop myself from being led astray, from being deceived? How am I going to be able to spot false teaching? How can I make sure I'll not be led astray? Well, let me encourage you this morning. You don't need to study the counterfeit. You need to keep studying the real. You need to keep digging deep into the Word of God and learn not only the milk of the Word, but dig deep and munch and chew on the meat of the Word and go deeper. Learn doctrine, study Scripture, know the Word of God inside out. Know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when the counterfeit comes, you'll see past personality and charisma. You'll see past entertaining meetings or emotionalism. You'll see past professional event running. And you'll see what is actually being taught, whether it is genuine or not. And if it's not genuine, when you abide in the Word, you'll be able to run a mile. John commends these believers for abiding in the Word. Abiding in the truth. Thirdly, John encourages them to counter the counterfeit because he counts on their ally against the antichrists. He counts on their ally against the antichrists. You know, I don't know much about computers, but I remember as a student, I bought my first Apple MacBook, a laptop. And one of the things that impressed me back then, I'm sure it's different now, but Apple were claiming to me that you didn't need to buy separate antivirus software for your MacBook. It came built in. See, it was inbuilt to the operating system of a Mac that you had an ally, an antivirus software that would stop attacks from outside. As John writes to these Christians, as he warns them of the false teachers, as he encourages them to stay faithful and abiding in Christ and in his word, John encourages them that they have an ally that they can count on who is inbuilt to them against the Antichrist. They don't need an ally from outside. Their ally indwells them, lives within them, has been built in them since their conversion, and that ally is the Holy Spirit. Genuine Christians have the Holy Spirit within them, and he is their ally to help them to discern the truth from the counterfeit. You know, growing up, I don't think I fully appreciated as a young Christian the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's been so much controversy about the Holy Spirit in evangelical circles, and it in many ways has detracted from us teaching about the role of the Holy Spirit and its importance in a Christian's life. You know, there's been so much controversy over gifts of the Spirit and experiences of the Spirit and things like tongues and healing and prophecy. And at times there's been so much controversy about that we shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit. And when I began to discover the ministry and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian as I studied Scripture, it revolutionized my Christian's life. See, what we spend all our hot air on, there's very little in the Bible about. There's very few passages in the Bible that talks about gifts of the Spirit. And there's different views on what they mean and whether they still apply today and how they could be exercised. But it's only a tiny fraction of what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. The vast majority of references point to the overwhelming role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian, as the one who indwells the Christian, as the one who gives us the power to live the Christian life, to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And one of the other main roles of the Holy Spirit is to teach us the truth and to lead us in truth and apply the truth to our hearts as we learn it. That's why the Holy Spirit is within us. We have a powerful inbuilt ally to combat the counterfeit, the antichrists. That's what Jesus promised the Spirit would do when the Spirit would come. Listen to John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. We have an ally in the truth, one who is inbuilt into us, one who indwells us, and he guides us and he teaches us the truth. You see, John is encouraging these Christians here. As he warns them about the Antichrist, as he warns them not to be deceived, he's saying you have an inbuilt ally to help you, the best ally that you could have. Look at verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Verse 27. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. These Christians had been anointed by the Holy One. Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit who indwells, who lives inside his people. He's an inbuilt ally to guide us in the truth, to apply it to our lives, to help us understand it, and to show us what is not true and what is false. He's our teacher. That was the promise of the new covenant back in the book of Jeremiah, wasn't it? We would no longer teach our neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares them the Lord. John says this here, you know, you've no need for anyone to teach you. We've been given everything we need to combat false teaching. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And we have the church to help us guard the truth. And what John is saying here is not that we cannot be taught. You know, he's writing a letter to teach this church himself. He's teaching them. We need to be taught. God has given the gift of teaching to his people. We have preachers, we have Bible classes, we have YFs, we have Bible colleges, and they're all important. We need to be taught. What John is saying here is we've been given all the tools we need to discern what we are taught, to whether it is genuine or not. We have an ally, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us and shows us what is the real McCoy. He helps us spot the counterfeit, and he helps us to recognize and apply the truth. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Maybe you've been in a meeting, or you've been listening to something on TV or online, or someone who has come to your door and knocked your door saying they're a Christian, and you start to have a conversation with them. And yet as time goes on, as you're hearing what they're talking about, deep within you know something is not right. I've had that experience a few times. And later you find out your suspicions were right. It's a cult, or it's a teaching. It's teaching something that is false or wrong or isn't in the Bible. And you felt the warning bells deep down, because your ally, the Holy Spirit, is within you. You know, we need to listen to that alarm when it sounds, so we are not led astray. John is encouraging these believers. They have an inbuilt ally to counter the counterfeit, so that they are not led astray. Well, just as we come to a close this morning, what practical lessons can we take from what John is saying here? Well, firstly, are we discerning what we are being taught? Are we discerning what we are being taught? There are still counterfeits out there, and we need to heed the warning of John. And they may start off in the right place, but they don't end up there. We need to discern who is teaching us, what meetings that we go to, what we watch on religious TV channels or on YouTube, what books we read. I mean, to look past a speaker's personality or their charisma, past the flashing lights and the great music. We need to discern what we are being taught. And that applies in this church here too. When I or someone else is teaching, I always want to encourage you to have the Bible open in front of you. As this teaching happens, follow along, see what the Bible says, discern what you are being taught. And if it's not coming from here, then question it. We need to discern what we're being taught. Second lesson we can take, we need to grow deeper into God's word. We need to grow deeper into God's word. If we're going to spot the counterfeit, we need to be studying the genuine. We need to abide in the word of God. We need to go deeper and deeper. We need to be reading it. We need to be studying it. We need to be memorizing it. For when the word of God abides in us, we overcome the evil one. This morning, are you growing deeper into God's word? Or are you starving yourself from spiritual food? You'll not be able to spot the counterfeit if you're not spending time in the genuine. We need to grow deeper into God's word. Thirdly, another lesson that we can take this morning, we need to rediscover our ally. We need to rediscover our ally. I think what we need more and more today as the church in the year 2020 is we need to rediscover the ally who lives within us. Not to get caught up and head up in all these arguments over tongues or spiritual gifts or experiences of the Spirit that the Bible says very little about, that so many fixate on, and the Bible barely mentions it. No, we need to discover the ally who indwells us, who teaches us the truth, who gives us the power to live out the Christian life. Because he will help us to live in this world of antichrists. He will help us to counter the counterfeit. Let's rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us to teach us and to give us the power to live the Christian life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit to those of us who are genuine in Christ. Lord, that you have taken away our sin, you've caused us to be born again, and your Holy Spirit lives within us. Father, help us to know the truth. Help us to abide in your word. Help us to be growing. Help us to walk in the power of the Spirit and not in the flesh. And Father, we pray, Lord, just in our world at the minute where there are so many antichrists, so many deceivers and deceitful teaching, Lord, guard us in the truth. Let us not be led astray. Keep us close to your word. Keep us close to the gospel. And keep us close to you. Father, I pray also if maybe someone's been watching this morning and they don't know you. Even this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might convict them of their sin and bring them to truth and light in Christ. So we thank you for this time around your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take it and apply it to our hearts and encourage us in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.